Good to have everybody here. Thank you so much for your kind attention. Appreciate your comportment. Everyone's been so dignified, so respectful. It is true that debating had gotten a bad name in years gone by. A lot of people misbehaved. A lot of my own people misbehaved. I've been ashamed of some of my brethren in the past and debates that I've attended. But not tonight, not here. I hope I've learned my lesson from the mistakes my brethren have made. And Kent, apparently, I think this is your first debate, isn't it? Mine too. And we're just trying to avoid some of the errors that have been made in the past. So I appreciate the audience, appreciate everything that we're seeing here, the chance to exchange ideas. I just didn't feel like there were enough things that I could even address from Kent's first speech that had anything to do with older New Testament passages saying that the Sabbath was going to be in the New Testament, and I think Kent understood that, indicating that it would take until he got to the second speech. And so while there were a couple of things I touched on from his first speech, in my first speech, I left the majority of it for this particular time frame. So we'll be going back and looking at the first speech and also at the second speech. Before we do that, though, having touched on Genesis chapter 2, I'm going to show you the last of the charts that I could foresee that we might get into tonight. Tomorrow night I'll be in the affirmative, of course, and so I'll be presenting the positive side of this whole equation. And at that time, you'll see a lot more charts. I just had to anticipate and was sure that we'd get into Genesis 2. So I did make this one chart, and I want just everybody especially to think about this. There are so many assumptions made about Genesis 2 in the Seventh-day Adventist philosophy that it just truly amazes me. 3 years, Kent and I talked about this at just extreme length, and he was always seeing things that were not written on the page. Things like Adam and Eve were Seventh-day Adventists. If you were here last night, he assured us that Adam and Eve were Seventh-day Adventists. I found that more than a little difficult to believe. And Kent readily admits, of course, that Scripture certainly doesn't say anything like that. But you can reason that they could have been called that if you accept the Seventh-day Adventist theories, and then you project them back into the Old Testament. But that's the only way to get them there. They're not actually there. And so here's what Genesis 2 does not say. And I think this is a foundationally important chart. It does not say that anybody worked except God. On that seventh day, God ceased working, but nobody else had been working or could have been working. The passage does not say that anybody had been working except God. The passage also does not say that any work except creative work ceased. The only kind of work that came to an end. And the word there is not Sabbath. It is the root word for Sabbath. Many centuries later, 2,500 years later, we would have the new word Sabbath. It's built upon the root. And then when God gives the Sabbath in Exodus 16, again in 20, when God finally reveals the Sabbath for the first time in human history, that word will then be used. But the word Sabbath does not exist in the entire book of Genesis. It does not exist in the first 15 chapters of Exodus. For anyone to project it there, to imagine it's there, to presume it's there, to, you know, help us to think that maybe it could be reason to be there, the simple fact is that the only work that ceased, that stopped, the word means rest, quit, ended, ceased, that work was creative work. It wasn't tilling fields or tending sheep. It was creating the world. Genesis 2 does not say that anybody except God rested. Now, Seventh-day Adventists have been projecting in there that Adam and Eve rested, but it does not say so. That is a pure imagination. It is a presupposition. It is eisegesis, where you read into the passage what it does not say. You look at Genesis 2. God rested. Nobody else is mentioned. And of course, because in 1 and 2 we know that nobody else had been working. And the only thing that stopped was creation, which Adam and Eve weren't much a part of. They were created. They were not creators. Number four, Genesis 2 does not say that God's rest was repeated 7 days later. It does not say that God went back to work on day 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and then he rested again on the second Saturday, and the third, and the fourth. The resting that took place here has been ongoing to this day. God never created anything again. He's been maintaining it, upholding it, by the word of Christ's power, we're told in the Hebrew letter. But not creating it. So, it wasn't repeated. He rested on that day and every day thereafter. He never created another thing. Number five, Genesis 2 does not say that anyone was required to rest on the following week. No command, no indication, no suggestion that anybody else ever rested. It is entirely an assumption that because God blessed the day and sanctified the day, that he must therefore also have commanded that this day be kept every coming day, with penalties included that are never stipulated until Exodus 2,500 years later, minimum. Nobody knows anything about a Sabbath until Exodus 16. We also do not know what the purpose was that the day was set apart. It was sanctified. It was set apart. How was it set apart? Set apart for what? And set apart really for when? It does not say any of these things. They are all of them inserted into the text by the Seventh-day Adventists. They've been trained from birth or seminary that if you think about it, you could say that Adam and Eve were Seventh-day Adventists. Not if you read about it. Only if you imagine it. You can't read it there at all. God is the only one who rested. He rested from creating, and Adam had not a thing in the world to rest from. He'd only just begun breathing. I don't find that particularly laborious. I don't think it's, you know, forbidden on the Sabbath. That's all in the world he's been doing. And he didn't stop that. Okay? Now, I want to also think about, you know, blessed and sanctified. It so happens that September 8th of 2001 is a really important day to me. I have blessed it, and I have sanctified it. September 8th of 2001. That was the last day after 14 years that I ever delivered a letter to anybody's mailbox. I carried the mail for 14 years. And on that day, a very special day for me, I ceased. I stopped. I rested. It was so momentous that I went into the last customer's house, dragged him out, gave him my camera, and made him take a picture of my putting that last letter in that mailbox. I've still got the photo. I blessed it. I sanctified it. One thing is certain. I am happy about it. And it was set apart. But I, in my remembrance, did not impose it, bind it, require it, demand it, or command it of anybody else. I blessed it. I sanctified it. It has meaning exclusively to me. Unless I should become Postmaster General, and then we're going to have a national holiday. Okay? But until then, and trust me, it'll be at least 2,500 years, there won't be any September 8th keeping. We'll first have to have stipulated parties in a covenant told how to keep it and what the penalties are. Now, to what Kent has been saying, and I want to lead off because of the sake of time, and it breaks my heart. This is absolutely the first time that I have ever been disappointed in Kent Knight. Kent, you're breaking my heart. Please come to Isaiah 56. Please come to Isaiah 56. If you did not go to Isaiah 56, while Kent was reading it to you and trying to make the point that somehow this is a passage that says that Christians are going to keep the Sabbath in the Old Testament and therefore satisfies the obvious requirements that he agreed to. He's shaking his head the whole time we were speaking. We need an Old Testament passage that says the Sabbath will be in the New Testament, and or we need a New Testament passage that says it will be. You know, let's go find one. And he told us that it's here in Isaiah 56. He said it satisfied the requirement. But if you'll come to Isaiah chapter 56, I'd like for you very, very carefully to read what, in fact, it actually says. I'll get turned over here and see where I want to get started. In Isaiah chapter 56, I believe Kent started, where was it? Was it all the way in verse 1? Okay. In verse 1 then, thus says the Lord, preserve justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, my righteousness to be revealed. Now blessed is the man who does this, the son of man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. This is 725 years before Jesus will be born. Who is he talking to? People bound by the old covenant. Sabbath-keeping Jews. He's telling them they ought to keep the Sabbath and the covenant that they're under. He says, let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me to hold fast my covenant. What covenant? The current covenant, the one they're in. To them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial. And a name better than that of sons and daughters, I'll give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. The passage is looking ahead to the church. The people that were faithful under the old covenant can be expected to be faithful in the new. Under the old, they had to keep the Sabbath. But now read where I come to just the greatest disappointment of my relationship with Kent, the first and the worst. In verse 6, also the foreigner who joins himself to the Lord, that minister to him, and who love the name of the Lord, to his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath, and holds fast my covenant, verse 7, even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. And don't you dare read the rest of that verse, because Kent wouldn't. I'm ashamed of you, Kent. If that verse teaches that there will be Sabbath keeping in the new covenant, and it also teaches that there will be burnt offerings in the new covenant. And you don't believe that, do you? Why did you stop reading? Please tell us why you stopped reading in the middle of a verse that mentions a Sabbath three times and burnt offerings only once, but binds them together, telling those people that if they're faithful under the old, they can be expected to be faithful under the new. But what we're looking for is any passage in the Old or New Testaments, it says Sabbath will be in the New Covenant. And if this does it, then burnt offerings are in the New Covenant too. And you know they're not. This covenant doesn't teach what Kent wants you to believe it teaches. And I'm desperate to know, Kent, because I believe your honor's at stake. Why did you quit reading in the middle of that verse? Now I've got a minute and 44 seconds. So back now to the first speech. Now, I think only I will say it. Repeatedly, Kent kept saying there's only one covenant, and then he would talk about the new one and the old one. He's got a chart here that says comparison of the two covenants, all the while telling us there's only one. The title is two. I believe there's two. One old, one new. And what he wants us to believe is that the old covenant is the new covenant. There's only one, but there's two. Now there's either only one, or there's two, or there's 50. But there's either only one, or there are multiple covenants. And the reason that I agreed to come and have this debate is because the proposition is about Sabbath keeping in the new covenant. New requires old, or the term is meaningless. New requires other, or it makes no sense. To just tell us that one equals two does not work in mathematics, and it will not work in a Bible that is constantly telling you there are two at least. And in Jeremiah 31, the new is not like the old. They are different. Okay? Thank you. Let's do try not to be amening and thank-you-ing and that sort of thing. It's important that we just be silent and let the speaker say their say.